So I'd just like to read John 3:16. Yeah. Can we just read this together as a church, please? Oh, sorry, did I introduce myself? Donovan. I'm one of the elders in the church. And thanks. Okay, let's just read together. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So that's complete just there, the message itself. It's God's love for us, that he gave his only begotten Son. And that's what he desires from us, is to love him also. It's that relationship he's looking for. Let's just pray for the word. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that we have an opportunity, Lord, just to share and to, Lord, hear from you what you have in store for us today. We thank you for Jesus, what he's done. And so, Lord, as we've come today, it is because, Lord God, we love you also. So we thank you for every head that's bowed before you right now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I just want to go to the beginning of creation in Genesis. And you see that in the beginning, the world was just a watery mess. The earth, everything was just turning around. And God's Spirit was hovering over. And at that time, we know already that Lucifer, that was the highest angel, tried to commit treason and take over God's position. And he was cast out. And that's when God realized he needs somebody to worship him. Because the one that used to worship him has failed. And so we know in creation, God spoke everything into existence. Right? First of all, he said, let there be light. And we know you have the day and you have the night. And then he spoke everything else into existence. And on the sixth day, he said, let us make man. And we know that God was not alone, because he said, let us. So you've got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And let us make man in our image, in our likeness. So we are in the image of God, in the likeness of God. How God thinks, how his ways, that's us. And so we see that out of the dust, he formed Adam. And he breathed into Adam, and Adam came alive. And then Adam, in the Hebrew, is called Ish, for man. And we got any South Africans in the house today? We got a saying in South Africa, when you get excited, if somebody did something good, what do we say? Ish. Ish man. So how did we get that? Because it's exciting, and that's what we're supposed to be, men. Exciting. But then God called all the animals forth and said to Adam, name all of them and see if there's any compatible to you. And Adam named all of them, but nothing. Not one was compatible. So he put Adam in a sleep and took from his side the rib. And we know the side he took it from is from the heart, because he put Adam in a sleep, took out the rib, and then he formed Eve, created Eve. And then when he woke them up, Adam, when he saw Eve, he said, Isha. His spirit, his breath was taken away when he saw Eve. And I wonder, men today, our breath still getting taken away when we see our Eve? Or we like, I know, hang on. Yeah, excuse me. Yeah, so this is what God meant for us as a family, husband and wife, to be side by side. Because we know when he created them, he put them in the garden. And he said, he's given us a choice. Even today, we have a choice. And he said, eat of everything, but just don't eat of that one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and we know what happened. They ate of that, and that's how come today we have sin in the world. We are born with sin, and we have sin, so we've got a challenge. And the challenge is between good and evil. Because of this, we see in John chapter 1, and have you got that there for me, please? Yeah. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All the things were made through Him. And without Him, nothing was made that was made. This is Jesus. In Him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. So that's how God's glory is so bright and so wonderful, that straight away the light pierces the darkness and the darkness is dispelled. We have that power. We have that light when we receive Jesus into our lives. And we're able to come against a situation because we know that He's already paid the price for us. And we know that Jesus is the head of the church. The church is the body of Christ. All different members working together for the body to move, for the body to function. And as Jesus is the head of the church, which is the new covenant, and the new covenant is what? It's already finished. All we got to do is receive Him by faith and know that we don't have to do anything. Jesus already has done everything for us by saying it is finished. All you got to do is believe. We just have to believe and have faith. And then we have this agreement that we are saved. And the same with the covenant of marriage. It's God, man, and woman. That is agreement. And God wants us to function together. That husband and wife teach their children the right ways, the fear of the Lord, which is the beginning of wisdom. And we know that there is good and evil. So the enemy is just out to interfere in the relationship. At any given time, he doesn't want there to be harmony. His plan is just to upset the apple cart. But we know that we have the Lord Jesus Christ on our side, who is for good. So if we have Him for good, we should not give any opportunity for the enemy, because we already know what his plan is, just to upset anything that is joyous, harmonious, good relationships. He just wants to see unhappiness. But there again, we see in Jeremiah, chapter 17, the heart. This is, they say the heart, but the heart is actually, this is why people say I got a gut feeling. It's the spirit. We have a spirit of God within us when we receive Jesus. And the heart is deceitful above all things. And deceit, The father of deception is the devil, the enemy. That's what he wants. And that's what we have. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, I search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his ways, according to the fruit of his doings. So, it's what we look at that actually enters into our heart. When we see something with our eyes and we absorb that into our heart, what's happening here, it germinates. It's like the ground. A seed is planted and it grows. So that grows. And if we give it, if we feed it, what's going to happen? We're going to end up doing that. But if we look at the word and we fellowship with other believers, we're feeding the spirit. And if you walk in the spirit, you are able to resist the flesh. Because we know there's a lot going on around us. And if we see things that are not good, it's going to germinate. And then we get all this jealousy, anger, you know, greed, malice. For example, I'm a golfer. I play golf. And just across the road. So we play four guys. We tee off together. But two guys score each other's. How many shots you took, how many? So if it's a par four, you're allowed only four shots to get in the hole. And we play, and when we get there, I know maybe I did an extra shot, but the guy I'm playing with was around the bush. The ball was gone. But when we get back and we count, I said, I'm five. He says, I'm six. Nah, man. That was much more than six. But because of deceit, the heart is deceitful. You don't want to be, you want to gain the upper hand. This is man, naturally. But when we receive Jesus Christ, we're able to resist. You know? Even sometimes myself, I'm tempted just to say, no. It's only four. In the meanwhile, I know now it's already been six. So you can't do that. You're feeding the flesh. And good and evil continues. And we see that God sees the heart. And we have the patriarchs. We have, in the beginning, Abraham, man of faith. And then his son, Isaac. And then Jacob. These are guys that had faults. They had mistakes. But what kept them was their faith. And so, God sees the heart, but he also tests the mind, because he sees your intention. Yeah, I mean, you make a mistake, but if your intention was maybe not so bad, God sees that. And we're going to have an example of Isaac, and he married Rebecca, and Rebecca was pregnant with twins. As we know, Isaac was from Abraham, that they couldn't bear, him and his wife, and they had Isaac at a ripe old age. That was fate itself. Now we see Isaac and his wife Rebecca that's pregnant with twins. But I mean, ladies, you know, I'm sure when you are quite far gone in pregnancy, you have a bit of a kick now and again from the baby. But this, what was going on was something else, was a war complete. Just banging and kicking and fighting in the belly. And we find She asked God, what's going on? And God said, you have two nations within you. And this war will continue until the end. It's still going on today in the Middle East. These are first cousins, but they end up hatred because the heart is just. And so we see the eldest son was Esau, and he was born first. And the second son, Jacob, when they were being born, was actually holding on to the elder, the first, because he wanted to be in the front. He wanted to be first. And then we see when the boys grew up, Esau was a warrior kind of a man. He was a hunter, just liked to kill animals, and that was his thing. But Jacob was a hard-working man, a God-fearing man. You see, God sees the heart. But the eldest son is the one to receive the blessing from generation to generation. And we need to teach our children the fear of the Lord, that it could continue down the track. And when the time came when Isaac was old, he called his eldest son to bless him, to pass the blessing on. And he said to him, go and kill an animal, cook it up, bring it here, and then I will bless you. And as soon as the hunter went out, the mother was listening, and she said, no. I rather Jacob, the second son, get that blessing. There again, the heart is deceitful. But remember, the intention is good. And we find that the mother calls Jacob, go to the back in the store. You'll find the lamb, bring it here, slaughter it, cook it up, bring the skins to me, because the brother Esau, the elder one, is very hairy. And the father was already on in age. Those years they lived to a couple of hundred years. So he could only feel and know his eldest son is hairy. So Jacob did exactly what his mother asked. She took the skins, put it on his arm, and he went in with the food. And the father said, oh, are you back? He said, yes. And the father felt him and said, yes, this is you, Esau, and blessed him. The minute he got the blessing, the mother said, right, head up north to my family there and stay there. And he went. We find when he gets there, obviously he met Rachel. And he liked Rachel. So she took him to the house and met the father. Father said, no, stay here. And later on, he said, look, I'd like Rachel's hand. So the father said, okay, work for me 7 years. Now let's think about 7 years working for your wife. You've got to be a patient man. Not many can wait that long, my brother. I'm sorry to say, Jeff. 1 year maybe, but 7 years? And I don't think Esau would have been able to do that. Because you look at Esau, he was a warring man. He was just about hunting, killing, things like that. But Jacob, no problem. Worked 7 years. After 7 years, the marriage. And we know the groom was waiting in the room and they brought the bride. And marriage was consummated. We won't go into details. But in the morning when Jacob woke up, he found this is not Rachel. I asked for Rachel. So he approached the father, Laban, his uncle, and said, but I've been deceived. You see, what you sow, you reap. He deceived his brother. Now he's been deceived. The father said, it is not custom that the younger daughter be married before the elder. We have to let the elder get married first. So they put the elder daughter to be married with Jacob first. And he said, now, but I wanted Rachel. So he said, well, that will be another 7 years. How long did Jesus wait for us? 32 years on this earth, so that he could give his life on that cross to save us, to set us free. And Jacob, as we know, was the father of Israel, because the 12 sons were the 12 tribes of Israel. And Israel was used and was chosen by God as an example to show the world of his power. That's why he chose Israel. And Jacob was chosen for that, because of his heart. He did some wrong things, but his intentions was right. Are we receiving Jesus Christ into our heart and feeding our spirit that we could be strengthened against the attacks that are coming to us, that tries to confuse us? Are we making the Lord Jesus our number one, that we are able to stand? And we find that Jacob, after a time when his children were born, and then he had to move away from the father-in-law. On his way, he was praying one night, and then the angel appeared to him. And the angel wrestled with him. And Jacob said, I will not let go until you bless me. And he held on to that angel. My brother, my sister, we need to hold on to the Lord Jesus Christ. Hold on. Don't let go until you bless me, for our children and our children's children. And we know who came after that. Joseph. And how blessed was Joseph that he is the one that delivered. Well, because of what he'd done, being second in charge to the Pharaoh, the Israelites they grew to such a great nation, and then from there, they were able to be let go because of Joseph. And that's another story, because what he went through, he really guarded his heart. No matter what happened, the brothers threw him in a pit. That wasn't enough. Came to Egypt, being in charge of everything. The master's wife tried and take advantage. Sorry to say, he refused. How strong was he? How full of faith was he to be able to stand and say, no, that's not for me? I'm sorry to say, if we are not feeding our spirit with the word and trusting the Lord by having fellowship, being used in the church, we're not going to have the resistance, because there's a lot of attack out there. And this is what we have today, the example of Jesus Christ that loved us so much. And we go over to Exodus, and we see the Passover lamb. And because the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and there was no way the Egyptians were going to say, you can leave this place. So God had a plan with Moses, and he said, this is what we'll do. We'll take a lamb without spot, without blemish, slaughter it, take the blood, put it on the doorpost. And that night, when the death angel comes past, that death angel was not able to do anything to the people that had the blood on the door. And that's what Jesus Christ has done for us. He's paid the price. And when we receive him, we are protected. We are covered. by his blood. We are washed. And he said, it is finished. No matter what happens, if you receive the Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, we have this opportunity to spend eternity with him. We are not saying you won't be sick or you won't have shortcomings as a Christian. There's a lot of attacks and there's a lot of distractions. But knowing that you've made Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, you have this opportunity of knowing that there's a better place for us when we pass this world. Somewhere that you know it's eternity. This life is only, what, 90 to 100 years max. Let's be thankful if we can get close to that. But eternity is forever and ever and ever. So why do we think nothing will happen to us? We're going to live forever. We think, no, don't worry. We'll be here all the time. But we are all going to be faced with one day having to leave this earth. And Jesus has already made a way. He's already paid the price. So all we got to do is to remember that. And today, we're going to partake of that.